So Thanksgiving is such an important holiday for us here in America. It has been since our beginning as a nation. Of course, we know even long before that, the first Thanksgiving was after the first harvest in 1621 that the pilgrims got. I think for the most part, our country, the folks here, have understood that when we say it's Thanksgiving, it's short for it's Thanksgiving to God Day, because really that's the long one of it. I know one of the things that I don't remember hearing so much in school back in the day, probably now it's a lot worse, is our tremendous heritage as a nation, our godly heritage, and in fact, when it comes to Thanksgiving, it's pretty significant. So let me just share a few facts for you. The first national celebration was made in 1777 by proclamation of the Continental Congress. Just a couple excerpts from that. This is the government of our country prior to our national government. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligations to Him for benefits received, and to implore such further blessings as they stand in need of, continues. It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December next, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor. So Washington was our first president. The very first proclamation that he made as president in 1789 had to do with Thanksgiving. Here's the beginning part of his proclamation. I read the whole thing. I mean, I'm getting all my source here that I'm quoting from Wikipedia. I looked at other sites. They just kind of put it together real simple. Let's give them credit where credit's due. But the beginning of George Washington's proclamation, the first national proclamation as the United States as we are now. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Of course, the next president, Thomas Jefferson, didn't observe Thanksgiving. That was kind of hit and miss, and that's kind of an interesting thing to look at. It was Abraham Lincoln, I believe, in the third year of his term, during the American Civil War. He established this as a national holiday. He was prompted by a series of editorials by a woman named Sarah Josepha Hale, and the address that was written was actually written for him by William H. Seward. And if you know Seward, he's the one that bought Alaska for us. Remember Seward's so-called folly. But just a little excerpt from that. I therefore do invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea, and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. So from 1683 until the presidency of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, our country celebrated Thanksgiving on the last Thursday of November. And then with Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that changed to the fourth Thursday. We have one of those months this year. Kind of confusing to some people. There's a Thursday after Thanksgiving. But he officially changed it from the last Thursday to the fourth Thursday. And we'll revisit this at the end of the message. There's a reason why he did that. That's probably enough of history for a while, but isn't that just, I don't know about you, but it's very meaningful to me. It's hard, too, to look back and to see what tremendous godly heritage we have, even though we deny it today, even though we push God out of every public discourse, and people who are of faith are ridiculed and pushed aside. But we have a wonderful heritage. This morning, the message that I have for you is pretty simple. Rick Shepherd's doing Bible study methods in the adult Sunday school class, and I really appreciate that. And really, this is almost like an exercise like that. As I thought through Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God and how important it is, how it matters, I had some thoughts and I kind of wrote them down. I thought, you know what? Let's just double check and see what scripture there is. So I just got out my exhaustive concordance and I looked at words like thanks, thanksgiving, and just went through the scriptures. And I kind of made myself some running notes. And then when I got these things together, I just kind of put a title on them, kind of organized them a little. It's not difficult exegesis of the text. Just looking at what the Bible says about giving thanks, and then just kind of coordinating that together a little bit. Something that every one of us can do. And I encourage you, those are kind of some really nice, simple Bible studies that will be so encouraging for your own walk. So that's what we're doing today. We're going to be here in the Bible. In your handout, there's no scripture references. You know where I'm going. There's 10 points there. The verses will be up here on the screen. Get your fingers ready. Warm up a little bit because we're going to go to some text today. This is going to be a little bit of an exercise in Bible study. Hopefully not too tedious for you. If you don't feel comfortable turning, it's okay. Just fake it. Okay? Giving thanks. We want to begin with this very important one. I don't know why I have done a message on heaven, a message on hell, a message on gifts, and for some reason I come up with 10 things. I come up with 10 things again, and typically the first one of the list and the last one are very specific why they're where they're at. And then in between, the order isn't necessarily significant. But I think this first one is significant. Giving thanks is commanded by God. It's very clear. Over and over in my study, I looked, especially in the Psalms, it says, give thanks. Give thanks. That's a command. I've told you before, one of the enduring phrases that I remember is my pastor's wife of many years, Juanita Dobson, who would tell her family, you might wanna. That was an order. God says, give thanks. Give thanks. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. Giving thanks isn't optional. It's God's command. It's His will. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, actually three little short verses together. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Always, without ceasing, in everything. Even in this verse where it talks about it being the will of God, this is in the form of a command. There might be some good reasons, quotation marks, why you don't feel as comfortable, as willing to give thanks this year. Perhaps because of the death of a loved one, friend, illnesses, financial losses, you name it. Giving thanks is an optional. It is something that we are called to do. In fact, sometimes, actually, when some of these things have been taken away and we're in the difficult times, we are more thankful than ever. You know, that old saying, you don't know what you got till it's gone. Until some of these things are not there, we're reminded. I love these verses in Habakkuk It's not up on the screen, but if you want to look at it later, Habakkuk 3, 17, 18, and 19, as God is disciplining his people and is withholding his blessing, Habakkuk expresses some very strong words to the Lord. The word thanksgiving isn't there so much as the word rejoicing, but it's a wonderful attitude to have. Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exult in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he has made my feet like hind's feet and makes me walk on my high places. So no matter what happens, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves in, whether it's at Thanksgiving or any time of the year, we're called to give thanks to God. And everything gives thanks. And everything gives thanks. One of the first things I thought about, number two, is how giving thanks was built into the Old Testament sacrificial system. You know, when we're working through the children of Israel on Sunday nights, we skipped Leviticus. I didn't want to spend all this time on all the Levitical sacrifices and the priest garments and the tabernacle furnishings and all that, as exciting as it is. But I did think about giving thanks in terms of the sacrifices that God prescribed. There's five significant sacrifices. Two of them were required. They were compulsory. The sin offering, the trespass offerings. Those are offerings that people had to bring. Both were for sins that people didn't know about. There was no sacrifice for knowing deliberate sin. One was a sacrifice essentially for sin that was committed that no reconciliation to others was possible, and the other was for the case where there were. But the other three sacrifices, those were voluntary. Those weren't offerings that had to be brought. The burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering. Of those peace offerings, there were three. There was a thanks offering, there was a votive offering, and there was a free will offering. Those were voluntary. Those were different offerings than the others. All the other offerings, either the whole entire offering, the sacrificial animal, was consumed before God. Some of them, the whole sacrifice was consumed, except there was a portion that the priests were able to have, a wave offering, a heave offering, they're called. But in these thanks offerings, in the votive offering, in the freewill offering, that was different. The person offering it and their family were allowed to participate in this. This was more of a fellowship kind of offering. Turn with me, if you haven't already, to Leviticus 7, verse 15 to 18. Leviticus 7, verses 15 to 18. Verse 15 talks about the thanks offering. Now, as for the flesh of the sacrifice of his thanksgiving peace offering, it shall be eaten on the day of his offering. He shall not leave any of it until morning. So that one, the person offering it and the family had to eat it that day. But then verse 16 and 17, but if the sacrifice of his offering is a votive, having made a vow, or a freewill offering, it shall be eaten on that day that he offers his sacrifice, and on the next day as what is left may be eaten. But what is left over from the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burned with fire. I know that some of this could be tedious when it comes to the sacrifices, but just to think, when we think of Old Testament and we think of the law and we think of the animal sacrifices, and it seems so severe and so demanding, and to see that God built in so his people could express voluntarily their thanks to him for what he has done, perhaps by providing something unexpected, for something that wasn't asked for. We have so many Hallmark holidays. We talk about them. I think I've mentioned this before, but, you know, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Pastor Appreciation Day, Grandparents' Day, Sweetheart Day, you know, there's all these different things, and they're really nice, but there's this sense where you got to at least send a card, make a phone call, give some little gift. There's no strings attached to this particular offering. It's just like, just because I'm bringing this offering to you, Lord, just because I love you and I want to thank you for all that I have. God built that right in to the system. Third one here, giving thanks is an important part of worship. It has always been, and it always will be. It was in the Old Testament. I found it interesting when I looked and I saw in the book of First Chronicles, the Levites. We know the Levites, they weren't the priests. They were the ones who were to come alongside of Aaron and his family. And their initial duties were to carry the components, everything to do with the tabernacle. That was their job. But when the temple came into being, that was no longer necessary. They received some new duties, some new responsibilities. Among those were giving thanks and praise to God. 1 Chronicles 23:30 says, they are to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at the evening. How important is giving thanks to God? How much does it matter? That was one of the daily morning and evening responsibility of the Levites, to offer praise and thanksgiving to God. New Testament. Colossians 3:16 is a verse that we're going to go to. Hopefully you can read that. Colossians 3:16. When you start hearing this, it'll be really familiar. Giving thanks is an important part of our worship. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. One of the reasons why we know our worship is acceptable to God, why he receives it, is because the attitude of our hearts. It's one of the reasons why I prayed this morning, Lord, help us as we sing to know what we're singing and to have our hearts behind them. We know in heaven, worship will be a very important aspect. Revelation 11, verses 16 and 17 says, and the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. We read in Sunday school this morning, Revelation chapter 4, the 24 elders, the four living creatures, and the worship that takes place there. Thanksgiving, even in heaven, perhaps especially in heaven, is a significant part of worship. It's actually, to me, kind of hard to separate the words thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. They kind of go together that closely. Now, Psalm 100, verse 4, we actually sang part of that song, I think our first psalm today, right? Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever. Giving thanks is an important part of worship as we come, as we gather together. Whether or not we say the word thank you, whether we say the word gratitude, the attitude of our heart as we worship, as we come before him, should be an appreciation for all that he is, for all who he is, and all that he has done. Giving thanks, number four, is an important part of prayer. We did something today in Sunday school class like we did on Sunday evening a few weeks ago. We went through the X formula for prayer. A for adoration, C for confession, T for thanksgiving, S for supplication, request. And we just kind of worked through that. And we made the observation again, at least I did, that so often when we come to the Lord, especially in public to pray, we want something from God. Give us this, health, financial need, etc., etc. And it's supposed to be the end of the line. And we understand that God is worthy. We want to recognize who God is. That's the adoration. We need to understand who we are. That's the confession. But a part of that, too, is thanksgiving for who God is and for what he's already done. We need to do that before we ask him for one more thing. I think there's a good formula. Thanksgiving's always been an important part of prayer. And I was actually kind of surprised because I'm thinking, well, surely when the Lord prayed, there's that word thanks that keeps coming in there. And so then I looked at the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our... I don't see the word thanks. So I looked, the prayer in Gethsemane. It's a pretty powerful prayer, right? I don't see any thanks. So I thought, okay, let's go to the upper room discourse, John 17, and the Lord's high priestly prayer, actually the Lord's model prayer. Certainly in there we will see him giving thanks. It's not there. We don't hear him say, thank you. He does, but some of these significant prayers, it's like, why isn't it there? Colossians 4:2, I think, is the key. Because giving thanks to God is an attitude in which we pray. Whether or not we say the word, it's the attitude that we pray. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Keeping with it an attitude of thanksgiving. We would say an attitude of gratitude. Not that we shouldn't say thanks. Thanks for answered prayer. That's always appropriate. Before we ask for one more thing, it seems to me that we want to be careful to acknowledge what God has already done. We don't want to forget that. Too often, we are like little children. I want more. I've already used up what you gave me. And really don't acknowledge what he has done. We need to start there. Part of it, too, is acknowledging what God has done for us, not just in a physical standpoint, but spiritually. The key word I always think of when it comes to Easter is the word victory. You know me, I've always been into sports, and I like to win. I hate to lose. And to understand that Christ won the victory. Sin and death and Satan have been defeated, and his victory is our victory. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift that gives us the victory, not just later, but right now. I don't have to sin now. I don't have to displease my Heavenly Father now. I can live in a way that he approves, that brings glory to his name. A life of victory, not defeat. Giving thanks is always the right attitude, and there are times when we need to express some very personal, specific things. Number five, giving thanks was modeled by the Apostle Paul. You look in the letters that Paul wrote to the churches. Over and over and over again, we see Paul giving thanks for the people in the churches, for his fellow servants, for their faithfulness to God, for their walk with him. We don't always think of the Apostle Paul as this personal, loving kind of man. We think of him as this giant of the faith, this hugely, immensely talented, gifted theologian. And yet he had a love for people and he had appreciation for people who were serious about their faith. Philippians 1, verses 3 and 4, perhaps you've turned there already. Starts out the book, the letter to the church at Philippi. A bunch of losers, if you just work a little harder and give more, things would be okay. No. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. Every time I think about you, I thank God. Why? Always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Romans 1:8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. See, he understood the importance, the supremacy of the word of God and the gospel. And when people were walking with God and about the work, he was so thankful, so grateful. not in this alone. It's not just me. The whole body of Christ, we're in this together. And he over and over expressed that appreciation and thanks for people in prayer. Ephesians 1, verses 15 and 16. I think that's up here. Yeah, it is. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you and your love for all the saints, I don't cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. I couldn't find the verse for a while. It took me a while. But Paul was not only thankful for those who are walking with the Lord and serving Him for all the right reasons, for all the right motives. Paul was just flat out thankful whenever the gospel went forth, even for people who didn't have the right motives and the right reasons, he was still grateful. If you want to turn later, Philippians 1, verses 15 to 18. Some are preaching Christ out of envy, from strife, some from goodwill. So I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Because what's happening? The gospel's going out. Well, let God be the judge of people's hearts. Let God be the judge of people's motives. How they're going about the ministry that they're doing. So I'm just thankful that the word is getting out. I think that's a good reminder for us here. People, all of us, we serve imperfectly. We may not do things exactly the way that you would have, or we left this out, or I don't know why you're doing that. I've got some reasons, and maybe they're not. Listen, folks, having the heart of thanksgiving understands that we all imperfectly serve. And it might not be just right in your eyes, in your estimation, and you might see this little flaw or that little flaw, but let's be careful. We're fellow laborers together. We're working for the same thing. Let God be the judge. Let's not nitpick. Let's be grateful. Let's be thankful for the willingness of anyone and everyone who is willing to step forward, sacrifice time and energy to use the talents they have to serve God. Now, Paul modeled that. I think it's a great model for us. Of course, Paul's one thing. But giving thanks was modeled by Jesus Christ. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 11, verse 41. John 11, 41. It's a very powerful scene. I think most of us are familiar with Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. We know he waited a few days to even go there. But he knew what God was going to do. But he prayed. So they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Lazarus is still in the tomb. He hasn't raised yet. How's he start? I thank you that you have heard me. Not just heard the words, not just heard my thoughts, but heard me, and I know that you're going to work and you're going to do this thing. I know you always hear me. But because of the people standing around, I said it so they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He modeled thanks. We read at the feeding of the 5,000 men, women and children, at the feeding of the 4,000 men, women and children. What the actual numbers are, I don't know. This last week at release time, Alita had the story, the lesson for the kids, and was talking about the feeding of the 5,000, and she said it was 10,000 people. And I thought, it's 5,000. But she's making a good observation. There were 5,000 men plus women and children. Perhaps there were that many. But when Jesus made his prayer before he did the miracle of multiplication with the bread, with the fish, he gave thanks. He gave thanks. He took the loaves and the fish, and having given thanks, they distributed them. What do we read about the institution of communion? And when he had given thanks, when he'd given thanks, he broke the bread. He offered the cup. I didn't grow up in a Christian home, and I look back on Thanksgiving growing up, and we never even said grace. We never said grace at our house at all. And over time, you know, you have your own family, and you start saying grace. But I never had these really strong Thanksgiving traditions. And now these last number of years, we have Thanksgiving at our house. It was always hosted at Mom's for years and years, but then, you know, when Tyler was more and more disabled, it was so much easier for everybody to come to our house. And we started being able to make Thanksgiving more what it should be. We started reading like Psalm 11, 111, or Psalm 100, as we all sat at the table. And not only do we pray, but in recent years, we have Carolyn's dad pray. He's the living patriarch, godly man of our family. And so our tradition is for me, my brother Mike, Pastor Tim, to read the scripture, and then they have Lewis Cowan to pray. And it's so meaningful. And it's not just a meal, you know? It's understanding what Thanksgiving is all about. The Lord Jesus modeled Thanksgiving. He modeled Thanksgiving in his prayer for food, for God's provision. Of course, we should do that every day, but especially on Thanksgiving. Seventh thing in the bulletin, or on your insert, the neglect to give thanks was pointed out by Jesus. If you haven't turned there already, turn to Luke 17, verses 11. Through 18, significant portion. This is one of those things I didn't need to look up in a Bible concordance. We preached through Luke. This is something that was right there in the front of my mind. Jesus noticed when only one of these fellows gave thanks. He's passing between Samaria and Galilee. We see in verse 11. He entered a village. There's 10 leprous guys there. They're raising their voices. They're crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Have mercy on us." When he saw them, what did he say? "Go show yourselves to the priests." See, that's how it worked in the law. It was the priest that had to examine a person with leprosy to determine whether or not they were healed or not. So Jesus is working within the confines of the law, saying, "Go and show yourself to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. They were healed. And then what do we read? "Now one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, glorifying God with a loud voice. Fell on his face before God." And of all the people to do that, it was a Samaritan, a half-Jew. Not one of the Jewish nine that were healed. Jesus asked three rhetorical questions to highlight his surprise. Were there not 10 cleansed? But the 9, where are they? Was no one found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? There is justice with God. There is more than justice. There were 10 people who were cleansed that day of a physical ailment. I call leprosy their cancer of the day. But one of them received a cleansing that the other ones didn't. And I think it sprang forth out of faith and a thankful heart. Verse 19, "And he said to him, stand up, go, your faith has made you well." And I think in terms of what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about spiritual cleansing, forgiveness of sins. Leads us right into this next one. Number 8, the absence of giving thanks is characteristic of the unrighteous. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans 1:21. The absence of giving thanks characterizes, it's the lifestyle, it's the practice of those who don't know Christ. "For even though they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now, we're going to take time. You could back up a couple verses and read verses 18 and 19. And it talks about God's general revelation, how God has revealed himself through creation, that every person should understand that there is a God, and they should acknowledge him as God, and they should be thankful. But if you don't acknowledge that God is God, you're not going to be thankful. And that's where they were at. That's a characteristic of the unrighteous. In fact, the next verses we need to look at is startling by how unthankful is in a company of other things that we would call much greater sin. I'm going to get this right. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5. Listen to the company that unthankfulness, a lack of gratitude, is keeping. But realize this: in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parent, ungrateful, unthankful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. That's the kind of company that God puts an unthankful heart with. It characterizes the lost. It's not supposed to characterize the righteous. I'm really glad to read in the Bible how God is kind. He sends his goodness, as it were, to the evil and to the good. We would say God's common grace, his common blessing. And I'm reminded over and over again, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It's the kindness of God. Even though people don't acknowledge who he is, even though people are unthankful, ungrateful for all that he routinely does in his care, for all that he's created, all that he provides for us, he is still patient and loving and kind and desiring that all people would come to him to the knowledge of the truth. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, God is not pleased. He's not pleased with your sin, which includes an unthankful heart. And he would desire that you trust Christ as Savior. Don't take his kindness as weakness, as he doesn't care, that he's not really going to follow through. His kindness is designed to bring a person to repentance. And if they don't come, if a person doesn't come, there will be judgment. There will be judgment. But that's not his desire. Number 9, giving thanks is to characterize Christians. Of course, we know Romans 8:28, right? All things work together for good for them who love God. Ephesians 5, verses 2 and 4. I call that more the negative statement. Walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or impurity or greed must not even be named among you as proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting. All those things are things that are going to be removed, taken out of our lives, and instead of them, what's it say? But rather, giving of thanks. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 is more of the positive statement. It talks about being rooted up and built up in Christ and overflowing with gratitude. It's everything to do with what we say, but it also is so much more than that. It involves everything that we are. It's the expression of our life. The attitude in which we live on Thanksgiving, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that, and the day after that. And then number 10, giving thanks should be expressed for our salvation. after Thanksgiving comes Christmas. We remember the greatest gift that was ever given. The greatest gift that ever was given was the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself that we might have life. There is no greater gift. And we're 2 weeks away from our Christmas program. It's jumping up on us. I know you and I, it's typical, we give a gift. We thought about it. We spent the money. We've wrapped it up really nice, and we present it to someone, and it's like, here. And there's all kinds of messages that go with us. And, you know, especially when kids get a certain age, you know, it's like, yeah, okay. And sometimes I think we have that ho-hum attitude toward what we have in Christ. There's never been a better gift, a greater gift that's given. 2 Corinthians 8:15, really, really long verse, but it's powerful. Thanks be to God for his incredible gift. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. Talking about the victory again. Just a little... not casual, but just a little study in the Word of God, just looking at what the Bible has to say about Thanksgiving, tells us a great deal about how God feels about giving thanks. It matters a lot to him. So let's get back to the president thing. Abraham Lincoln's successors followed his example. It was always the last Thursday of the month until 1939. President Franklin D. Roosevelt broke with this tradition. November had five Thursdays that year, like it does this year. Roosevelt declared the fourth Thursday as Thanksgiving rather than the fifth one. Although many popular histories state otherwise, he made clear that his plan was to establish the holiday on the next to last Thursday in the month instead of the last one. The country was in the middle of the Great Depression. He thought an earlier Thanksgiving would give the merchants a longer period to sell goods before Christmas. Increasing profits and spending during this period, Roosevelt hoped, would help bring the country out of the Depression. This didn't come out of a vacuum to him. The fellow named Fred Lazarus, the founder of what has now been called Macy's, the Federated Department Store, he's credited with convincing FDR to push back Thursday, Thanksgiving, to expand the shopping season. Within 2 years, that was law. So we look at the creep of Christmas, and we look at the increasing commercialization of Christmas. Where did that start? It didn't start with Black Friday. It didn't start a couple of years ago. It started way back in 1939 by a presidential proclamation. He changed the dates. I'm not implying that our traditions on Thanksgiving are bad. Shopping's okay. Football's okay. Hunting's okay. Whatever your traditions are. Watching the parades on TV, if you can do that, I could do it as a kid, I can't do it anymore. Those are great. But especially on Thanksgiving, let's remember what the day is for. It's a day that has been set aside to do what we should be doing every day, to give thanks to God. Why? Because it matters to him. It pleases to him. It is the righteous lifestyle of God's saints. Let's remember this week, giving thanks matters to God. Let's enjoy the day. Let's enjoy the time off, all that goes with it. But let's remember the Lord. Let's be sure to give him thanks. And let's remember on Friday and Saturday and Sunday and all the days that follow it too. Because it's clear. It's clear when you look at the scripture. Giving thanks matters to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its truth. I pray that we might be encouraged, Lord, that as we are living out our lives in a way that is pleasing to you, as gratitude and thanksgiving is thoroughly a part of us, that we will be confirmed, that we would be confident that this pleases you, that it brings glory to your name. And Lord, if for some reason the Spirit of God has been moving in our hearts and just kind of nudging us a little bit, saying, you know, not so much all the time. There's room for improvement there, Lord. I pray that we would take that to heart.
that we would line up with your desire, with your will, even in this attitude of gratitude and our thankful hearts toward you. Help us, Lord. Help us to be people who are pleasing to you in all things. That's our desire. That's what we want. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.